Boom, 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 boom.
Nice.
All right.
Welcome to the Jerk of All Trades podcast.
Episode number 9, and if you couldn't guess, it is the Twin Peaks special.
If you made it through that intro, I applaud you.
I absolutely love you. This is where you would normally hear the Twin Peaks theme music playing normally, but instead you got to hear two tone-deaf motherfuckers try to simultaneously hum that, and it was probably pretty brutal to your ears.
Scale of 1 to 10, that was at least a 9.5.
That was pretty good. If we were on completed right now with that, I think that would have probably been...
That's a 4.5.
That would have been, like a 2.8, I think.
I think
maybe.
People are going to jack that from us and try to use it on their
that
podcast.
That was actually quite beautiful. So,
anyways,
yeah, if you want to use that on your podcast,
yeah,
you
man, if
it,
that
so.
Was public domain, we would use that shit, but
unfortunately, it wasn't, so,
good.
Yeah, we did it, but, yeah, this is, Jerk of All Trades podcast episode 9.
Little Twin Peaks midnight special.
This is, it's the, 3 o'clock in the morning, special after, we've watched Twin Peaks, season 3 premiere, episodes 1 and 2, and, I think the only way that we can really start this, aside from ruining your ear holes with our humming abilities, is, Eddie, hit them with it.
It's time to go to work.
Time to go to work, guys. So
Twin Peaks special. Let's
yes,
do this shit.
Episode 9, Jerk of All Trades podcast, Twin Peaks special. Let's hit it. So I think the best way that we can kind of start this show, aside from all the things that we've done already, is for me to talk a little bit about my background with David Lynch, with Twin Peaks. I have mentioned on the show that I am a pretty obsessive film fan, and I have been for a good number of years. And honestly, for my whole life, I've really been into movies. But David Lynch definitely threw me down a different avenue in the film world. And so I kind of wanted to tell the story about that. And then, yeah, we'll definitely be hitting the original show, and we'll be hitting the new episodes that just dropped. And yeah, it should be a fun episode. So, all right. So basically, my first exposure, and I mean, I'd been around the film game. I've been a horror fan since, you know, I was knee high to a grasshopper. So, I mean, I heard David Lynch, but honestly, hadn't really seen any of his stuff. And I remember I was with one of my ex-girlfriends, and we were at the video store. And I remember just walking around the video store. That was always, I loved the video store growing up. And so I continued to do that later on. And we were at the video store, and I remember a particular movie just caught my eye, which was Mulholland Drive. And
I still have yet to see that.
It's
do you have that?
I actually do.
I may have to sneak out of here.
I definitely I own every single David Lynch movie that there is, I think. So but yeah, Mulholland Drive, I saw the cover. It's got a very, very a very interesting DVD cover that really calls to you. I saw it and I was like, I need to rent this movie and I need to see it. I just felt drawn to it. And so we did in fact rent that, and we started watching it, and I was enjoying it, but my ex-girlfriend was not enjoying it very much, and so she made me turn it off, and so I did, against my better judgment, and so ended up returning the movie to the video store, and subsequently, I don't know the time frame exactly, but we were back at the video store at some point, and I was like, hey, I want to rent Mulholland Drive again, and she was obviously pretty adverse to that, but we did it anyway, and we rented it again, and we were watching it again, and once again, she was not enjoying it, and if you've seen the film, it's a very, very dense film. It's very hard to decipher and to figure out exactly what's going on, what the plot is, and which is what I love about David Lynch so much, is there is so much breadth to his films. You really can just obsess about them and delve into every aspect of them. And so, anyway, we turned it off again, and I still felt myself drawn towards that. So I ended up renting it on my own. We were still together at that point, but I ended up renting it on my own, and I watched it, and I just absolutely loved it. And I didn't know what I watched, and I didn't fully understand it. And
So what's the background of the movie? What is it about?
So there is basically a woman played by Naomi Watts, and she's going to Hollywood to be a big Hollywood movie actress, and she's going on auditions and such, and she ends up getting in a car accident, and she meets this girl, and she's staying in what she believes to be this girl's grandma's apartment, and from there, it just gets more and more bizarre. It's about 2 hours or 2 hours plus.
Kind of like a thriller, suspense,
man,
drama.
It is. It's so hard to describe Lynch's style. There's elements of horror. Oh,
okay, so it's,
the art house genre.
It's like a movie style Twin Peaks. Where you get a little bit of everything.
Right, but
a little
it's comedy, suspense,
not mystery.
Not a lot of comedy in it, but there's a lot of... Lynch loves symbolism, so there's a lot of symbolism and stuff. And once you actually really, like, once you know more about what the plot is, you can basically decipher it a lot more, and you can kind of see what certain things mean and stuff. It's not a very direct film.
Came out in 2001.
Yeah, 2001. It's got Naomi Watts, who is one of my favorite actresses, beautiful lady, and
I remember
awesome
hearing
actress.
About this. I think it won some awards, too.
Yeah, absolutely. I loved the film, and from that point, I became obsessed with David Lynch. He became my favorite director, and I still absolutely love Lynch to this day, and he's still up there for one of my favorite directors, and from that point, I just dove headfirst into cinema, and now, I mean, I'm just... Yeah, I've...
You know who my favorite director is? Pretty easy.
Martin Scorsese, maybe?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that was a good guess. So
it's an easy one.
Yeah, Scorsese is obviously awesome. But yeah, so I really, really owe a debt of gratitude in terms of my film fandom to David Lynch. And he really threw me into a different realm of cinema that...
Mulholland Drive. Yeah. Best Picture, Golden Globes, 2001.
Yeah, it's an awesome, awesome movie. There's a lot of commentary on Hollywood in it, obviously,
best
with Mulholland Drive.
Yeah, Best Director.
It
won quite a few Golden Globes.
And it definitely deserved it, and it's definitely a movie that you should check out. And it's a movie, like I said, what I really like about it is that you can watch it many, many times, and you can get more and more out of it. It's got one of the most horrifying scenes that I have ever seen.
Don't ruin it.
There's a guy, I'm not going to ruin the whole thing, but there's a guy in a diner, and he's talking to someone, and he's telling him that he has to go out back by the dumpster and see something. And it's really like, someone recently was talking to me about the film, and I got goosebumps, and my hair was standing on end, not on my chrome dome, but just on my arms and stuff, just hearing about the scene. So yeah, he definitely, he really, really changed my perspective on film. And then later on in my life, he also changed really my entire worldview. I have mentioned in the podcast that I'm into meditation, and that was something that was one of the most important things I've ever done. And the reason why I initially did that was because David Lynch was at the forefront of the Transcendental Meditation movement. And he wrote a book called Catching the Big Fish. And I read that book, and it was really, really overwhelming for me, and I started doing Transcendental Meditation, and it really...
Is David Lynch from America? Is he American?
Yes, he is.
Wow.
Yeah. So, he's been into Transcendental Meditation for a long time, and I mean, that's another story. I have some different takes on the Transcendental Meditation movement now, but I think at its heart, I mean, meditation, regardless of style, is... very, very important, and something that many, many people could benefit from.
That's interesting, so, watching his stuff, that he's so into meditation. It kind of makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a big reason why there's a lot of symbolism and such in his films, because, you know, once you go down that rabbit hole and you start getting into human psychology and such, I'm a big fan of Carl Jung, and he is very much about symbolism, dream symbolism and stuff. And we were talking a bit about that as we were watching the Twin Peaks premiere, and David Lynch's kind of obsession with symbolism, and Carl Jung is very, very into that idea, and that things don't always, in your dreams and such, don't necessarily mean literally what they are, and it could be something completely different. And so you see that popping up in Lynch's stuff a lot, and that's one of the things that I like so much about it, because it's not like, hey, you just go to the local cinema and you watch the newest big budget, you know, action movie and you watch things explode and you watch, you know, people in tights flying around. And I don't mean to hate on people's superhero movies, but I definitely find myself most drawn towards movies that you really have to dissect and you have to try to figure out. And rather than just watching it once, you can watch it many, many times. And honestly, you can find your own meaning in the film. And so that's why I love Lynch so much.
Twin Peaks is so good. You could watch it easily.
Absolutely. I have.
Two, 3 times.
Yeah. So with that said, you know, I talked about my background. So Eddie actually had never seen Twin Peaks before. And of my suggestion and us doing this podcast, I suggested that he do it. That he watched through the show, and I lent him all the DVDs. I have, you know, all the DVDs and the Fire Walk With Me movie. So I lent those to him. I wasn't really sure what he would think of it. We definitely have a different taste in cinema.
Whenever Ray gives me something to watch,
yeah,
it's usually 50-50. I mean, it's not terrible. I mean, your track record is good and bad. I mean, it's not like...
I try to filter a little bit with it. It's tough to not get caught up in just my personal opinion of things. I mean, that's tough in general, but
given our different taste in music, different taste in a lot of things, like essentially taste in movies is going to be different too.
Absolutely.
So like, this was a good one though. This was definitely good. Twin Peaks is very, very good. I think it was ahead of its time.
Absolutely.
You know, it's very compelling. It's got a very intricate story. Like, Ray was talking about David Lynch. You know, his attention to detail is very strong.
Immaculate.
So, if you're into that kind of stuff, definitely give Twin Peaks a chance. It's like a murder mystery, which I'm into. I like the police investigation stuff. I'm not a big CSI guy, but I imagine that's kind of what CSI is all about.
Yeah, CSI is like the polar opposite, I think, of what Lynch does.
I've never seen it.
Just the, you know, very direct. And you know what? I'm going to be honest. I haven't really watched CSI a lot, but it seems, you know, very... very vanilla, and you know, the episode of the week, and you know, you've got the same, you know, recurring main characters, but you got the murder of the week, and that's not what Twin Peaks was.
Twin Peaks, it was like, it was a giant story,
right?
That was episodic storytelling. Good. It was so good. The first 15 episodes or so of Twin Peaks is the best shit you'll probably watch. Yeah.
So I have a real quick question for you. So what was your exposure to David Lynch before you just watched through?
I don't think I've seen any David Lynch movies. I don't
Were you familiar with him? Had you heard of him or no? No.
Not at all. But it's interesting to see here that he was born in Montana.
Yeah.
Born in Montana, and he's been described as the most important director of this era and a renaissance man of modern American filmmaking.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's high praise coming from you know, a lot of critics.
He is, so Eraserhead, actually, which is one of my favorite movies, is one of the movies that was at the forefront of the midnight movie craze of the 70s. And, you know, movies that weren't going to get shown in mainstream cinemas. And so instead they had, you know, cult followings that built up to see them at these kind of offbeat theaters and such. And so, yeah, he definitely gained a cult following from that. You know, that kind of launched him into bigger movies. He ended up doing The Elephant Man, which was a very big movie at the time with William Hurt, you know, based on the true story of The Elephant Man. He ended up directing Dune, which I'm going to be honest, it's probably my least favorite David Lynch film out of anything. And there's been well-documented, one of my other favorite directors of all time. Honestly, probably my favorite director is Alejandro Jodorowsky, was initially going to direct Dune, and he had some really, really crazy ideas.
You're talking about that movie with The Rock. Doom?
No. Dune. D-U-N-E.
Oh.
yeah.
I was like, he directed Doom?
No, he did not. It's based on a very, very famous sci-fi book. So
that's not a winner, huh?
You know, a lot of people do like it. I guess David Lynch basically has disavowed it. He... does really? Not like it whatsoever. He doesn't want his name on it, which it still is. But I guess he's had kind of a career-long battle with studios and them trying to, I mean, with his directing style and what he does, they tend to want to change it a little more for a mainstream audience, and especially a big movie like that.
Yeah.
And early on in his mainstream career, they really, really tied his hands a lot. And so it's not what it could have been, honestly. And I'm not the hugest sci-fi fan. I've definitely opened up to it a lot more, but It's a little outside of my wheelhouse. I am a film fan that didn't see a Star Wars movie until maybe, I don't know, 10 years ago, I think, was the first Star Wars movie.
I still have not seen a Star Wars movie.
Yeah, and
or Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, I have. I've seen
one day.
I've seen one.
Day, but
also not in my wheelhouse, but yeah, David Lynch is definitely. So being into offbeat cinema, things very often get described, and I think a lot of times probably not so justifiably so, but anytime something is really weird and offbeat and interesting and different, and it has a very disjointed or at least seemingly disjointed kind of plot, it's always described as Lynchian. And so when you have an entire type of filmmaking that is described based on your last name, obviously you're pretty influential. So yeah,
right.
David Lynch is a very, very influential director. And yeah, that's one of the reasons why I'm such a huge fan. So
yeah, a lot of people describe podcast as Jerkian from the Jerk of All Trades. And we appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Here at the Jerk of All Trades.
Continue to do such. So yeah,
we love you guys.
So yeah, you know, with that said, let's talk about the original run of the show. And I guess I'll probably start off because I've seen
Twin Peaks,
seen the show quite a few times. So after I got into Mulholland Drive, I was pretty obsessed with it, and I ended up being lent Twin Peaks from someone, and I watched through it, and I absolutely loved the fuck out of it. So by the time that I saw it, television was changing a little bit. I mean, you had things like Oz, and you had The Sopranos, and more episodic storytelling.
Oh, that was way after Twin Peaks.
Right, yes. But by the time I saw it, I mean...
Oh, well, that was when you saw Twin Peaks the first time.
Right,
I was
familiar with Twin Peaks. I had heard of it, but I had never seen it. And so after I saw Mulholland Drive, I needed to see everything that David Lynch had ever directed. And so I ended up seeing Twin Peaks, and I was just really, really blown away by it. And I mean, I think only even now do I realize, and are people fully realizing, how influential and how different it was. And obviously there's a lot of people who have, I mean, there's been a goddamn festival for it for God knows how many years now. So, I absolutely loved the show. I will definitely say that, season one is certainly far superior to season two. And especially, as you get deeper into season two, once they reveal who Laura Palmer's killer is, I mean, that was really the whole hook of the show. And from what I understand, Mark Frost and David Lynch really didn't even want to reveal that, and they wanted to continue down that pathway. And instead, the studio, and especially for the time, you didn't really have shows that were like that. And really the only kind of hook like that that you had was the Who Shot JR from Dallas thing. And so they really wanted to give that wrap up. And so they ended up revealing it, and I think that the show really, really, and I'm not the only one, the show really suffered for it. Lynch became very disenfranchised with the show, and Mark Frost, I believe, did as well. And so, yeah, from that point, actually, the ratings of the show started to slide pretty hard, and eventually the show ended up being canceled in 1991. And honestly, probably at that point for the best, because I don't think that once the killer was revealed, they could have continued on with what they had going on in season one and part of season two. So, what are your thoughts on that? You know, from your watch that
Twin
you just
Peaks
had.
Twin Peaks reminds me a lot of Game of Thrones in that there are numerous storylines separated from each other that are going on all at the same time.
There is so much going on.
So it's hard to wrap your head around everything all at once, but it is still very, very good in all those storylines. Not all of them. There's some storylines that
Eddie fast forwards through Donna.
God damn it, man.
The Donna stuff.
James.
The Donna and James.
James,
stuff.
You gotta go, buddy. I'm sorry, you're a little too boring.
And you
for
do
me.
You do look a bit like John Cena. So.
Yeah, James and Donna.
I hear the trumpets going when I look at your face. So.
After like episode 6 or 7, it was over for me.
I did. I did actually. I like James, so
but,
I'm not in agreement
you
with
know,
that. But.
I mean, if you like Game of Thrones, you'll definitely like Twin Peaks. But Yeah, it's very detailed. Like I was saying earlier, there's a lot of different stuff going on all at the same time, but it all comes together. It eventually all comes back together, and you're just like, yes, you know, this is so cool.
Episodic storytelling. You can definitely tell that Lynch has his fingerprints all over it. He creates a world with a lot of different characters and a lot of intrigue. I think that's one of the most important things that Lynch does, is he creates intrigue, he creates atmosphere, and I think those are the things that really, really drive the show and make it so interesting. The way I describe the show is it's almost like it's soap opera-esque in the delivery and you know, the kind of the way that characters are connected and other characters don't realize that, you know, other characters may have some sort of, you know, back dealings and such. But it's done so in a very, very bizarre way, the setting and such. And then you kind of dump these like really unsettling horror elements on top of it. And it makes for just really, really compelling television and just a really, really excellent show. So yeah
season two's, I like season two.
I don't hate it, and I think there's good in it, but you can definitely feel a drop off once you
up until, you know, they reveal the killer for Laura Palmer, and then it kind of slows down a bit. And yeah, it kind of falls off a cliff. Like,
yeah, a little
saying.
Bit,
but
off a mountain maybe.
Yeah, and you're kind of just like, man, well, now
where would they have gone with
now
it?
What? It's just kind of like now what? But then they build up again.
Yeah,
and then like, you know, obviously there's no season three until the year 2017. So
yeah,
at the end of season two, you're left with this cliffhanger that just never gets settled.
Yeah, it was definitely
so
tough.
It's a little bit disappointing there. But the whole thing about it was about, you know, who killed Laura Palmer. And
they were going definitely in a different direction with it, which, I mean, now we're starting to see, you know, where that is. And I think it was a bit
sudden. Wonder, like, if they hadn't forced him to reveal the killer, where it would have gone.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a, because
even right now with season three, how it's shifted with,
very much
with,
so
with you know, agent
Cooper, the Coop.
Would that be going on right now if they hadn't been forced to reveal?
I don't know. That's a great question.
And the whole "I'll see you in 25 years" stuff. Like, if that hadn't been forced on them, what story would that have been?
I don't know. That, you know, that is a great question. And They were definitely, it was kind of dumped on them that the show was not being renewed. And so they were kind of forced to push to, you know, some, you know, a finale. And like you said, there's definitely a cliffhangery element to it. There's not that finality that we're obviously going to be getting now. So, yeah.
See, I didn't know that all this stuff was happening when I was watching it. So to me, it didn't make a whole lot of sense. I thought they were like, I thought the end of season two was like the climax of the whole story.
Yeah.
But it really wasn't.
No, definitely. And we can definitely see that now. There's a lot more going on than even at the surface level. And even at the surface level, there's a lot going on. So
one weird thing about Twin Peaks I forgot to mention is that you don't see this in any TV shows. And if you do, it's because that I haven't seen them because I don't watch TV. But there's a lot of violence against women in this show from men. I was shocked, especially for like, well,
for the time, for sure.
The early 90s, it was like, well, nowadays people are so sensitive. It's like you can't walk down the street without someone being like, you know, you can't, you're automatically prejudiced if, like, you know, you say or say the wrong thing nowadays, especially with like social media and stuff. But like, I was just like, damn,
that's
kicking that chick's ass.
That was definitely
it was crazy. Like, there's at least two or three instances where a chick gets the beat down from a guy, and I'm just like, god damn,
that was,
I have never seen that on a TV show before.
That was definitely, if you think about it, I mean, that
I don't hate it, and I'm not mad at it. It's just like, I was just, it just shocked me.
You heard it here first. Eddie doesn't hate beating women. So
I don't think that's quite what you meant, entertainment, I suppose, I guess, for entertainment purposes, but definitely not in real life.
I think that was the overarching kind of idea of the show. I mean, how does the show begin? I mean, there's a young woman who's been, you know, obviously beaten. You later find out raped and killed and wrapped in plastic.
The way it was done was tasteful, not tasteful, but like it made sense for the story.
Yeah.
Because they were put in a situation. Well, there was one situation where the guy had to hit the woman to save himself. So that kind of makes sense. And he didn't hit her, like, he hit her in the stomach. So yeah. It's not a big deal. And she wasn't pregnant or anything It just hit her in the stomach. That was it. But that was the first time I saw it. And I was like, oh, shit. The hit her in the stomach.
The choreography in Twin Peaks may leave a bit to be desired. I remember in the premiere episode, the fight in the bar with Bobby.
Oh, you're talking about...
they're definitely throwing some punches. But I think that was, once again, part of the appeal and the fact that they were kind of touching on that kind of soap opera kind of feel.
Yeah, it's different. So. David Lynch is not afraid to push the envelope, and yes, I appreciate that.
He pushes the envelope, and he watches it bend. So, I kind of talked about how influential the show was at the time, and honestly still is to this day. I was recently watching the show Legion, which is on FX, and... I was really taken aback by the fact that, you know, the show, it's obviously not the same plot as Twin Peaks at all, but it really, really has that Twin Peaks vibe. And the big thing I think with Twin Peaks and what, you know, one of the things that I like the most about it and that I kind of touched on a little bit was it creates this bizarre world with a lot of intrigue and a lot of questions and not a lot of answers. And it doesn't give those to you on a silver platter. And it may take some time for you to really fully understand what's happening. And Legion does that. And in my opinion, I don't think it does it quite as good as Twin Peaks does, but I think it does it pretty well. And then I kind of try to think about other shows that do that. And honestly, even to this day, there's not a lot of them. But even beyond that, I mean, the amount of media that has been influenced very directly by Twin Peaks, video games, I'm a video game player, Silent Hill, I mean, they've basically come out and said that big, big influence of what they were doing in Silent Hill was Twin Peaks. Deadly Premonition, which is one of my favorite games of all time, which is one of those so bad it's good video games, which are, I mean, honestly, that's pretty rare in the video game world. Literally is like a copy paste of Twin Peaks. It's so much fun. Alan Wake is another favorite game of mine. Also very Twin Peaks influence. Wayward Pines, a show recently, as we were watching the new episode, I was commenting to my girlfriend about Wayward Pines and how much of a ripoff of Twin Peaks it was and how disappointingly bad it was. I actually stopped watching it because I did not enjoy it. A show that I did really like, The Killing, also very, very obviously influenced by Twin Peaks. So you can see the fingerprints of Twin Peaks on so much media, even to this day. And for a television show to 25 years later, still be, you know, around and people are obsessive and influenced by it is really, really impressive.
I think I know why Twin Peaks was so popular.
Why is that?
Because Shelley is so damn fine.
Shelley is pretty hot.
Damn
She's
it.
No Audrey,
Holy
but
fuck.
She is
Shelley
no
can get the
Audrey.
D all day, every day, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Audrey, too, actually.
Yeah, Audrey is...
Audrey's hot, too, but she's more, like, subtle about it.
Yeah, she's got the seductive thing going on. I was pretty obsessed with Audrey when I first saw the show, and even to this day, yeah, she's a beautiful.
I can't wait
beautiful
to see her
lady,
in the new
so.
Show, man. She's yes. a no show in the first.
She was
one.
She no show.
We should are we doing spoilers for? Or...
I think that as we get to the as we
episode
round the,
one
as,
of season
as we
three.
Round the base to that, I think that we're gonna probably talk about
Shelley's
the
still looking good so, too. By the way,
yes, absolutely. She was in the new episode and she looked really good. So
hell yeah.
So, I think that that's kind of what we wanted to cover on Twin Peaks and what it was and why it was so influential. And we're going to come back and then we're going to talk about...
Taking a break, folks.
Yes, we're going to take a break and we're going to come back and we're going to talk about the obsessive fan base of the show and kind of how that led, partially to us getting season 3. And then we're going to talk about the premiere.
And where do we go from here?
And where do we go from here with Twin Peaks? So, yeah, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back, and we'll talk more Twin Peaks. So, all right, we'll see you on the flip side, guys.
All right, guys, we are back. Jerk of All Trades podcast, special Twin Peaks edition. Before we continue on, we wanted to hit you with some social media. And to get at us, you can hit up that iTunes, Jerk of All Trades podcast. Go ahead and search for us on iTunes. Give us a review if you would like. Give us some
even
comments
if you, don't like.
If you would like. And then download that motherfucker if you would like.
Please.
And we would we definitely would appreciate that shit. iTunes is pretty big, and you know, we're trying to show iTunes what's up over here at the Jerk
New
of All Trades.
And noteworthy.
So, you know, just trying to do the damn thing. Stitcher. Stitcher, we're, search for us. Jerk of All Trades podcast on Stitcher. Don't forget to click that thumbs up button. And I believe they do have a settings option for downloading on Stitcher as well.
Yes.
So go ahead and do that if you please. And then SoundCloud. SoundCloud.com/Jerk of All Trades podcast. We are up in that B all day, every day.
Yeah.
You can download us on there too, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
I believe so.
Yep. RSS feed, whichever way you get your podcasts. We're on iTunes, so we are pretty much on all of your favorite podcast apps. So just search us up and we will be there.
And of course, Jerk of All Trades podcast, JOATpodcast.com, the home of Jerk of All Trades podcast.
Yes.
Anything and everything you need right there, JOATpodcast.com.
Support JOAT. Give us your monies.
Yes, indeed. Give us all of your money. This Please. Is a stick
Not
up.
Not all of it. Just
This is like, a stick up. If you don't want to get hurt, you give us all your money.
Just, you know, whatever pocket change you were going to throw in, you know, in the trash or something, send it to us instead. So
yeah, we don't accept any wooden nickels here, though.
So no wooden
make sure
nickels.
You shine that bitch up. Make sure it's silver.
Yeah.
Anyways, email jerkofalltradespodcast@gmail.com. Send that fan mail. Send some critiques. Send some love. And, you know, we'll send some right back at you.
Absolutely.
And then social media, we're everywhere up in this. Facebook.
Can't miss us.
Instagram. YouTube. Search Jerk of All Trades Podcast. And then on Twitter, we are at JOAT Podcast. We reply quickly.
Yes.
And we're on social media just about every goddamn day. So we're looking out for you.
Yes. Yes, we are. We love you guys, and thank you for all the support.
Absolutely.
And we do the show because we love to do it, and we do the show because we want you guys to hear us do it. So if we're doing the show and no one's listening, yeah, we would still do it just because we love it so much. But obviously, we want you guys to listen and share it with your friends and review us and subscribe and download and do all of those great things. And we
please
absolutely appreciate every single bit of support that you guys have shown us so far. So JWT is going to be blowing up, and it's already blowing up, and it's because of you guys, and thank you so much for all your support.
Absolutely.
So,
thank you, guys.
Yes. So back on to the topic at hand. We're back
Twin Peaks.
Twin Peaks, the Twin Peaks special, episode 9 of the JOAT podcast. And so the next thing I wanted to talk about was the fan base of the show. So
it has a cult following.
Absolutely. The complete definition of a cult following is Twin Peaks. Twin Peaks is actually coming up on the 25th annual Twin Peaks Festival. It's going on July 28th through the 30th
somewhere in Washington.
And we'll say End North Bend, Washington, and another place that I definitely cannot pronounce. So, yeah, 25 years. Obviously, people love this show. They go.
Is this where the setting of Twin Peaks was recorded at? The town of, you know, quote unquote Twin Peaks.
I believe it is because the diner,
and the mill.
That's yes. So
and everything else.
Yep.
That's pretty cool.
So yeah, that's very cool. I would love to go and check this out one of these years. I have not done that before, and I would really like to do it because I count myself in the cult following of Twin Peaks, and so I would love to go and check that out. So yeah.
Cult following of David Lynch too.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm sure a lot of those guys going to that are big fans of his movies and stuff as well.
Absolutely. Yeah,
I would assume.
I would definitely enjoy going to that, and maybe I will make it a point to go and check that out. I can't imagine how jam-packed it's going to be this year with the return of the show after 25 freaking years. So, basically in 2014, kind of, you know, out of nowhere, it was announced that Twin Peaks was going to be coming back to Showtime. They were initially going to do a 9-episode deal, and it was announced, and it was happening. And then all of a sudden, later on that year, It was no longer happening. Apparently there was some issues with David Lynch, obviously, and especially at this point in his career, he has a very, very particular vision and what he wants to put his name on and the entertainment that he wants to create. And apparently things were not going so swimmingly with Showtime. And thus he had announced on his social media that, hey, he was dropping out. He wasn't going to be a part of it anymore. And I think that everybody was pretty much in agreement that Twin Peaks did not need to come back without David Lynch. He wanted more money to be able to do the show in the way that he wanted to do it. And he wanted the creative versatility to be able to do, you know, what he wanted to do. And so there was a time where it was not going to happen. And there was some petitions that were created online, change.org. There was a very large one with over 20,000 people that signed it. I'm going to try to get David Lynch back on the Twin Peaks bandwagon and get him to be able to do it the way that he wanted to be able to do it. There was a whole hashtag going on with Save Twin Peaks. So I remember I was following it at the time, obviously, being a big fan. And then...
Did you sign the petition?
I don't believe I signed the petition.
Oh, Ray. Slacking.
Yeah, I didn't sign the petition, and yet it still happened anyway. So I thought I thought positive thoughts about it happening, and so it happened anyway. So, so eventually Showtime kind of they bent and they gave in to whatever David Lynch's demands were. This sounds like he's like holding them up. I believe we talked about us holding you up so you give us
Stick
our money.
Up.
So
David Lynch ain't taking no
let's,
shit.
Let's start a change.org.
Meet all of his demands or go fuck yourself.
Let's start a petition for JOAT to get all your money. So
we don't have that cult following yet, though.
No, but
we're working on it.
We're on the underground right now.
It'll come.
Yeah, the cult is gonna have meetings. I believe we're gonna do probably Thursday mornings. You know, because we do the show on Thursday night. So
yeah,
I'm Friday
free
mornings.
Just about any day of the week, so I don't give a shit.
So anyway, yeah, the show, you know, was back on. But yeah, I wanted to talk about the unprecedented nature of a show coming back after 25 years. I mean, to my memory, I don't think anything like this has ever happened. So it really speaks to how much this show means to people. After 25 years, it's coming back to be able to get the finality that...
Yeah, this is crazy.
It didn't fully get, so after the show ended... David Lynch was able to write and direct a Twin Peaks movie, which is called Fire Walk With Me, which honestly is not my favorite David Lynch property. I mean, it's fun to see all the characters and such, and there's more no holds barred nature to it because it's a movie. But you had some weird things going on, like you had Donna was played by someone different because Lara Flynn Boyle was not a part of that. And
yeah, I'm not a big fan of the prequel either. I think he should have done was instead of doing a prequel movie, because they said he recorded like 4 hours worth of film making that.
Yeah,
he should have just went ahead and kept going with what he was gonna do with season three, the first season three.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? After Agent Cooper, you know, went headbanger mosh in the mirror there.
Yeah, yeah.
Just keep going Goldberg from there. Yeah, just give them 4 hours of Twin Peaks, what you were going to give them anyways. Or not 4 hours, but you know what I'm saying. Give them a movie of, and then give some finality at the end of that instead of going backwards on the prequel.
It was definitely, I mean, it was a different era too.
But
I
they
mean,
certainly did owe the Laura Palmer her just due, you know, with, because the whole show, the best part of the show, was about her. So
yeah, what an amazing performance by her. I'm sure that at the time it wasn't just as easy as, you know.
Yeah, her and her father Leland are the best actors by far on Twin Peaks.
Wow.
Leland can act his ass off. I think his name is Ray Wise.
Yes, Ray Wise like is an
God
awesome actor.
Damn it, man, he is phenomenal.
He's been in a lot of awesome movies that I've really, really liked.
I need to check more of his stuff out because I was very impressed with
him. He's been, you know, doing the acting game for so long. He's showing up in things all the time, and he's always really, really good. So I really like when I see Ray Wise's name attached to something. So, he's an awesome actor. So, yeah. The other thing I wanted to, so based on the 25 year thing, I wanted to kind of talk about the fact that on the show, they actually, you know, basically Laura told Agent Cooper that she would see him again in 25 years. And how fucking crazy that now the show is back after 25 years. And like, you know, how planned was that? And I don't know, but it's another
really
interesting.
No other television show has done that, right?
No,
In the history of television, it's never been done.
It has never been done. I actually recently heard that Roseanne is actually going to be coming back for a new season, which is really bizarre. If you watch through Roseanne.
Interesting.
The
Roseanne's a big UFC fan, so I'm not mad at that. Oh, absolutely.
Interesting. I did not know that.
Huge UFC fan. What up, Roseanne?
Yeah. The ending of Roseanne was really bizarre, too, because the whole final season was basically like, you know, at first you thought that John Goodman's character had died, and then all of a sudden, hey, they won the lottery and they're living it up. And then you find out at the end of the final season that it was all just a dream because she couldn't deal with his death. And so, yeah, I don't know how they're going to bring that back, but I wonder how influenced that is by Twin Peaks. Obviously, people like Roseanne. I mean, I watched at the time, but I can't say that.
I wonder how much a big part of it is how desperate television is.
Yeah,
for good TV these days.
Absolutely, yeah. They the retreads, and I think that's as we delve into the season 3 recap.
Because look at Twin Peaks. Twin Peaks was on network TV. Now it's on Showtime.
Right. Absolutely.
It's like these HBOs and Showtimes. They're getting the big shows.
Yeah.
Like ABC, NBC, like the network stations. They're not getting the big show anymore.
No. The network television thing has really kind of died off. And it's
internet killed the radio star.
So definitely not what it once was. And so, I can't imagine that there's a Roseanne festival every year.
Oh.
And so,
no, I don't think so.
They're bringing it back anyway. So, So, with that being said, let's move on to the meat and potatoes of this. And that is the season 3 premiere. It just,
hell yeah.
We just watched it. Not, you know, hours ago. It's 2 episodes in one. Episode 1, episode 2.
Just about 2 hours. Just under 2 hours in length.
Yep. Yeah, it was like 1 hour and 51 minutes.
Are we spoiling or not spoiling?
No, I think, I mean, so if you haven't watched it yet, maybe come back and
yeah,
listen.
If you haven't seen it yet, press pause right here.
Right. And come back and listen.
And we'll see you on Thursday night.
Yes. So, or, you know, watch the show and then come back and listen to this.
Yeah.
So, I think, you know, we'd be remiss if we didn't actually talk about the things that happened on it. As I said many times here, I'm a huge Lynch fan. I'm a huge Twin Peaks fan. So I have quite a little collection. So I had all my stuff set up, which we posted on our social media, my records and my laser discs and my DVDs and my books
cool.
and stuff.
Yeah, that made for a great picture.
So yeah, we had a whole setup going on with that, and I also got what you had to do. I got donuts and stacked them up real nice, and I got some cherry pie, and I got some coffee, which I drank black, and then I got Eddie a little creamer, and then I drank.
Gotta have that cream.
Way too much coffee.
My acid reflux ain't good with that coffee.
I drank way too much coffee for 10:15 at night, and then I was super, super fucking hyped and wanted to do a bunch of shit around the house. And instead, I watched Twin Peaks season 3 premiere, which honestly, I wanted to do more than, you know, clean the house or whatever. But way too much coffee. Don't drink coffee at like 10:30 at night. It's probably a bad idea. Then you do podcasts at like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
But the meat and potatoes, you know, I guess I'll throw to Eddie, and I want to hear what Eddie's thought process was on the premiere. And he just finished season 1, season 2. He watched Fire Walk with Me literally today.
I binged the fuck out of it.
And then he came
shit.
In and he watched the season 3 premiere. So I'm interested to hear what his thought process is. So.
Well, there's certainly a bigger budget for season 3. And, you know, it was certainly different. A lot of these guys are older now. Agent Cooper, a little bit older.
A little bit.
A little bit longer hair. Not quite as personable as, you know, the guy in the red room there.
Yeah.
But, no Audrey, no Harry Truman, no Donna, no Bobby. So you're kind of left feeling.
We saw James, not Bobby.
Yeah. A little slightly unfulfilled as far as like all the characters are. I know this is episode 1 is just laying the groundwork for, you know, more to come. And as a binge watcher myself, I'm spoiled in the fact that I didn't have to wait. I was able to watch everything I wanted to back to back to back, and I didn't have to wait for shit. But now, unfortunately, I have to wait.
You are definitely waiting.
You know, they're laying the groundwork for all this stuff, and it wasn't terrible, but, you know, it wasn't great in my opinion.
Definitely give me the unfiltered Eddie the Jerk.
Yeah, I keep it real. I
definitely want to hear it.
I call it the
mine,
way I see
too.
It. It was so long that it's hard to take bits and pieces out of it. It's hard to get behind the new characters that they introduced this episode because
you want to see the familiar faces.
Yeah, especially just after watching the entire first two seasons. Yeah. I'm so invested in those guys. Like, those guys were my guys from Twin Peaks.
You want your Twin Peaks friends.
Especially Mr. Mayor, man. Mr. Mayor is... I know he's probably dead now. But Mr. Most Mayor likely, yeah. is the shit, man. Season 2, there's not many highlights of Season 2, but Mr. Mayor in Season 2 is the funniest fucking thing that you'll see in the fucking Twin Peaks. I enjoyed the hell out of Mr. Mayor, and, you know, he's nowhere to be found in this season. But, yeah, so, you know, there's certainly more questions that need to be answered, and they're basically just laying the groundwork for the entire, what is it, 18 episodes coming up?
Yeah, it's 18 episodes, so we got 16 left.
16 more episodes, so I couldn't get everything I wanted out of it right away, but it'll come.
Yeah. So, my thought process, and I've watched through the original series multiple times, I've definitely watched Season 1 quite a few more times than I've watched Season 2. There's been times where I start watching through it and then I kind of fall off in Season 2 and don't watch all the way through it just because it kind of, I don't want to say tanks, but it goes downhill a bit.
It falls off a cliff.
Yeah, I don't know if I would say it falls off a cliff, but it's not as enjoyable. But so obviously I have a very, very deep investment in the characters, and you know, they are definitely my Twin Peaks friends, and I love the characters on the show. So I can see where the disappointment from, you know, Eddie would come, and really from anyone who was a big fan of the show, and, you know, you come back and you don't get maybe enough of the familiarity of the show and what you were accustomed to and the characters that you loved and you want to see. But my thought process is David Lynch, as I mentioned, is very particular in his vision. And I don't think that he would just retread Twin Peaks just to put Twin Peaks out and just to slap his name on something and just throw you right into, you know, Twin Peaks and give you everything you want, because that's not the kind of director that he is. And so this definitely, while it had some familiarity, there was a lot of Red Room stuff, and, you know, you got to, you know, see some stuff at the police station, and
there was a lot of murder in this episode.
Yeah, this was the most violent, very thing that David Lynch has ever put his name on, for sure. Yeah.
It had lots of special effects, a lot more CGI.
Yeah.
Which I'm a big fan of.
And I'm not. And that was actually probably my thing of the show that I liked the least.
The simplicity of it? All right, you mean the original? The simplicity of the original Twin Peaks?
No, I thought some of the CGI was a bit heavy. And a bit distracting when they were in the red room. It was kind of green screeny and such.
I know what you're saying.
But I thought that when he really, really went overboard with it, I could, you know, think of some moments like the weird creature thing that was inside of the looking station thing.
Yeah.
It was just so ridiculous and absurd, but I loved it because it really just took it to, you know, 11.
More mystery.
More
mystery. We don't know what the hell that damn thing is.
Yeah, and Kyle MacLachlan's character.
And extremely vicious.
That thing was vicious as fuck. Kyle MacLachlan's character kind of falling into space-time.
Was corny.
I liked it, actually. I liked it. Yeah. I thought when they took it balls to the wall to 11, I thought that it made it more palatable. But I guess my big thing was I thought that this really did.
It reminded me of Get Out a little bit, that falling into space.
Into the kind of weird dream realm or whatever. I mean, there's really a lot of that in Twin Peaks in general, but I think that this was a very logical place for the show to go. You know,
it seems like he's trying to be more progressive with Twin Peaks instead of, like you were saying, rehashing it
right
as what it was. He's like, all right, this is Twin Peaks, and it's got some guys from Twin Peaks, but this is the new Twin Peaks.
Right.
This is the 2017 Twin Peaks.
Which I think is the only really way to, if you're going to bring the show back, it's like...
I can appreciate that, too.
So for, you know, let's say for music, for example, you know, you have a lot of artists that say, well, if I'm going to remake a song, I'm going to bring my own vision to it. And it's almost like he's bringing his own vision to where Twin Peaks would be in 2017 instead of just retreading. And obviously you're going to get a lot of the familiar Twin Peaks stuff as we go along. I mean, this was only, you know, 2 hours of an 18-hour run of this show. And so there's going to be a lot of that. And I think what was really important is it really set the groundwork for what's going to be happening. You know, you had the whole doppelganger Agent Cooper thing going on. You had Agent Cooper, which, man, what a jolting moment when you saw him driving down the road in the very familiar David Lynch kind of lost highway kind of thing that he likes to utilize. And then you saw him get out and you saw him looking straight up like goddamn Eugene from The Walking Dead. And yeah, he was a goddamn badass. And so you had that whole thing going on. You had the weird guy you've never seen before in New York in the skyscraper who was looking through this weird eye portal thing with cameras and such, and some sort of connection to Jacoby going on because you had the boxes there, which I would only assume had the SD cards with all the camera film that were being delivered to Jacoby, the psychiatrist.
Still so living out in Twin Peaks.
There's some sort of... They mentioned an unknown billionaire who was funding that whole thing. So
yes, they did.
You've got that whole thing going on. You've got the Agent Cooper thing where, actual Dale Cooper has been stuck in the Red Room for these past 25 years, and doppelganger Dale Cooper has been out in the real world. And so now
the evil Dale Cooper,
the
blowing bitches' brains out.
Bizarre. Yes. There was quite a lot of people being...
He's
murdered
2 for 2
brutally.
On killing women in this fucking thing.
Yeah, there was multiple holes through the entire head. Yeah. There was a lot of gore and such.
Evil
on this.
Dale Cooper is a fantastic shot.
Yes.
I mean, he
was amazing. He straight up headshot.
You don't even
right
need a
the
scope
eyeball.
On his fucking thing. He just,
he definitely wrecked it. Shots. That's the way doppelganger Dale Cooper goes. So, there was a lot. This was definitely, I heard this described as like David Lynch heroin, and I can definitely see that as a huge Lynch fan, that this was really like David Lynch was just given unlimited money and given complete creative freedom and given the reins to do whatever he wants. And that was definitely what you got here. You got crazy fucking talking trees with weird blobfish eraserhead baby esque
yeah, that thing was pretty
weird,
crazy.
weird dialogue that was like really, really hard to decipher and try to figure out. Is it the past? Is it the future? Like, yeah, there was. I at one point I said I really feel like I should be taking notes, and I actually feel like I'm probably going to go back and I'm gonna probably rewatch the episode and I'm gonna probably take notes because there's definitely
a
lot of numbers and things,
names
that you need to remember, and you're gonna get lost. This is, you know, I mean, if you like Twin Peaks, you're listening to this.
No dancing midgets though. I was a little disappointed.
No, he is not a part of the show. He is not happy with David Lynch because he didn't want him to be a part of the show, and he has been talking mad shit online. He actually in the original show did say, the next time that you see me, I won't be the same. So I'm speculating Michael Cera is going to be on the show, so maybe Michael Cera will be like the slightly grown version of him. So
that'd be funny.
But yeah, I think that this was really, really a logical place for Twin Peaks in 2017 to go. And personally, I mean, as a David Lynch fan, I mean, this was like a wet dream, and I really, really enjoyed what they did, and I cannot wait to see where they take it. I really think that they've set the groundwork. This is like, you know, the opening section of a regular David Lynch movie. This is where he creates a world, he creates intrigue, he creates a lot of questions, and he doesn't give you a lot of answers.
Are the next episodes going to be an hour? Are they all going to be 2 hours? Well, I mean, they're all going to be an hour, right?
I think they're all going to be an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, we basically got 16 hours more of this, and I think that it's...
Every Sunday night?
Yes. Yeah. Cool. It's got, cool. There's definitely enough meat on the bones here, and which I'll be honest. So I pretty much went in, without seeing almost anything on this. I didn't, and there really wasn't a lot to see either. I mean, there wasn't a lot of like, hey, here's the full trailer for Twin Peaks season 3, which I think was good. I wanted to go in it, and I didn't really want to know a whole heck of a lot, and I didn't want to see a lot of specifically what I was going to see on the show, and I just really wanted to take it in. And yeah, I didn't love every single element of it. Like I said, some of the CGI I thought was a little bizarre, but I think that it honestly kind of fits in with what Twin Peaks does. You know, the original show, there was definitely an odd quirkiness. Like I said, the, you know, some of the fight scenes and stuff were really, really, you know, not what you would expect. They're not The Raid. So if you've seen The Raid, you know, you've got the best choreography of a movie ever. Yeah. And that's not Twin Peaks. And I think that this kind of feeds into that because it's got that kind of quirky kind of kind of element going on in it a little bit. And so they definitely,
there's an element of realism to his fight scenes though.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Because yeah, you're not going to see, you know, super, super intense choreography in a normal
ass
fight.
Athletic guys. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's not who you're seeing in it. I think we were really commenting. One of the interesting things that David Lynch does is he's really able to find kind of the most bizarre looking people. You know, there was a particular female on the show, and I mean, I'm not here to comment on people's, you know, appearance all that much because, hey, I'm, you know, I'm not freaking, I don't know, who do the kids think are?
You ain't exactly Brad Pitt over there,
I was
going
to say Brad Pitt, but yeah, I didn't know.
Nah, I don't know.
I'm not on the cover of
Justin
People.
Bieber?
I'm not.
Justin Bieber.
No, I don't want to be the fucking Bieb. God damn it. I like to think I'm a little more attractive than the fucking Bieb, and I'm a lot funnier and more talented, but... anyway, yeah.
He's not going to appreciate that.
There was a particular female on the show, and I mean...
He's also Canadian.
Yeah, well, I mean, we want to move to Canada, I think, right? We're loving Canada on the previous episodes.
Maybe.
It's kind of cold there, but...
Yeah, I got to talk with Mr. Trudeau first.
Yeah, but yeah, there was a particular lady who really looked like an alien. Like, I was like, whoa, her eyes are, like, really, really, really far apart. I can't imagine what her glasses would look like. The middle bridge of her glasses just has to be huge. But I mean, she was a pretty lady, but
no, she was cute.
Yeah, yeah. But and with that being said, god damn it, where was Audrey, man? I want to see Audrey.
Oh yeah, I know.
I want to see her smoking in the bathroom and, you know, doing her super flirty, seductive little head movements and such. So
I wouldn't have been mad at some Audrey.
Yeah, she was
up in there.
She was missing in action. There was definitely a few people that we didn't get to see yet, and I know it was upsetting, you know, for some people probably, and myself included, to have people that you really wanted to see again. I remember seeing Lucy and Andy for the first time, and I was just like, man, I love them, and I was so happy to see them. And there's definitely a lot of other characters that I want to see that I know that are going to be a part of it. Bobby, for example, Audrey, obviously, but. I mean,
Harry Truman, the detective, or the sheriff.
I don't even know if he's going to be on the show.
Man, he's not on the list.
I honestly don't remember. There's like 235 people on the list. So
he was one
track.
Of those guys that got his role reduced significantly.
Definitely.
I thought he was going to be like the main character, but ended up being Cooper.
Yeah,
from the pilot.
I want my Diane. I want to see Coop on the goddamn tape recorder. I did like there was some Easter
eggs.
Yeah,
I was going to ask you about that during the show, but I didn't want to talk too much about it. I was going to say, where is his tape recorder?
Evil Coop actually had the tape recorder. Did you
not
hear?
He did, but he wasn't like it wasn't.
Well,
he wasn't.
Well, I mean, he's Evil Coop. He wasn't using it to talk to Diane. He was using it to.
And that's another thing about season two about Twin Peaks going into season three. Back in the day, I wanted to see Diane. I was like, where is this chick?
I think that was really a big intrigue of the show. And yeah. I think that as you watch the show, you couldn't help but feel like that Diane probably didn't exist and that. You know,
it was just like a mechanism.
Right. It was a coping mechanism or whatever it might have been. But man, I love Dale Cooper, and he's like honestly one of the greatest characters of all time. And I love his innocence and such. And yeah, you know,
intelligence.
He loves
smart guy.
He loves
man.
A good piece of pie. He loves a good cup of coffee.
Donuts.
He loves donuts. He loves the smell of fir trees.
He likes the goodness of Twin Peaks.
He likes the goodness of the world, and definitely evil. Doppelganger, evil Bizarro Dale Cooper likes shooting people
likes
in the goddamn
kill.
Head.
Yeah,
he's
the exact opposite.
His kill death ratio was actually quite high in this thing.
Oh,
so.
We forgot a guy that wasn't in this episode.
Who's that?
Bob.
Oh yeah,
no Bob this episode.
Yeah, Bob.
Unless he's hiding somewhere and we didn't see him.
So Bob is the actor who played Bob is actually dead.
Oh, my bad.
So
R.I.P. Bob.
But
guy.
I actually think that if you're really familiar with the show, that Bob was not missing in action in this. I mean, Bob.
Yeah, Bob was everywhere.
Bob was definitely everywhere. I mean, Bob clearly has control of Doppelganger Cooper, and you know, I think the main driving force of where this season of the show is going to go is, you know, regular ass lovable Dale Cooper is been stuck in you know, the Red Room, Black Lodge, and he's gonna get out and he is gonna fuck up Doppelganger Dale Cooper, and I can't wait to see those fight scenes because they're gonna be fucking awesome.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah. I think this next 16 episodes should be very, very interesting on the journey that it takes us. And fuck, here's the bottom line.
I'm definitely looking forward to next week because you know, I want some more Shelley and I want some Audrey up in this bitch.
Yes. I think that in time we will definitely get those. But I think my biggest takeaway is, God damn it, man, I am so happy because my favorite television show of all time, for its ups and its downs, it's unlike anything I'd ever seen, and it completely changed what I thought of as good television. David Lynch changed what I thought of as good cinema, and I'm just so happy to have in an unprecedented move the show back for a season three, and any critiques that I can make of it, honestly, I'm just happy it's back.
I'm happy you referred me it, because obviously we were very young when the show came out.
Yeah, I was like 7 years old. So.
Yeah, I
a little too young.
I had another friend that told me about Twin Peaks, and you know, he's hit or miss like you with the referrals.
I have the best opinion on things.
But
ever.
You know, you guys are right. Twin Peaks is the shit, and I would have never watched it without you guys telling me about it. And yeah, I'm glad that I took the time out to give it a chance, and it was very, very good. So I wouldn't say it changed my life or anything, but you know, I mean, I enjoyed the hell out of it. So it was a very good TV show, and if you guys like, you know, intricate storylines with you know, compelling story writing, Twin Peaks is your show, man. Give it a chance.
Absolutely. And if you have not seen the show and you're listening to this part, what the fuck are you doing? Yeah,
if you made it this far, you truly love us.
Not that we don't want you to listen to the podcast, but God damn it, you need to go
and watch some Twin Peaks.
Watch some Twin Peaks.
Just watch the pilot. It's an hour and a half long, and if that doesn't hook you to keep going, then just drop it. Just let it sit. But give it a chance, because
absolutely,
you'll be glad that you did.
Yes. So. All right, so I think that is about all we have to say about Twin Peaks.
Time to go home.
Definitely check it out next week.
The Twin Peaks special.
Season three, episode
three. We're not doing this every week. This was just a one-time deal for Twin Peaks.
Yep, so we'll be back on Thursday, and we'll have our normally scheduled programming and our normal Jerk of All Trades rotating set of funny, interesting...
Same jerk time, same jerk channel.
Yep. Except, you know, depending on how long it takes, it might not be the exact same time, but, you know,
roundabout.
So
same jerk estimate, ETA.
Yes. So
we love you guys.
Yes, Twin Peaks.
Thanks for hanging with us on the Twin Peaks special. And we will be back Thursday night, and we can't wait to tear this shit the fuck up.
Yes. So we love you guys. Jerk of All Trades podcast, episode 9, Twin Peaks special, is in the books. So we will see you on Thursday, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.